We continue today with lesson number 110. In our ongoing study of Mishnayos Meseches Kelim, we are now very far into the 26th perek, but not quite finished yet. We have the 7th and 8th Mishnah of the 26th perek. Perek Chofov, Mishneh Zayin, and Mishneh Ches. Mishneh Zayin. Now, Mishneh Zayin of Perek Chofov is referring back to the last Mishnah, Mishneh Tes, of Perek Chof Hei. And there we learned a rule that kol hakelim yordim lidei tumosom b'machshova, that if a person has an intention, a thought, of using a certain raw piece of material as a vessel, that thought is sufficient to render it a vessel. So if there's a long piece of cloth, which is just a piece of cloth, but I intend to use it as a blanket, as a bandage, as whatever, it is now a vessel with my thought alone. Machshava alone can bring it down, so to speak, to being in the status of ro'i lekabel tuma. However, Mishnah Zayin of Perek Chavov, gives a big exception to that rule. And that is, it's only true if in order for this object to function as a vessel, all that's necessary is my intention. But if besides my intention to use it as a vessel, it's missing some other step, either trimming, fixing, sewing, or owning, O-W-N-I-N-G, as we will see in the next Mishnah, then Machshava itself is not sufficient to make it into a vessel. So, the Mishnah Zayin tells us, Kol mokom she'ein chesron melocha, if there is no further step necessary in order to make this object usable, except my intention to use it, then machshava mitamosan. Then my intention itself makes it ra'ui lekabel tuma. Because of the principle that we learned back in Perek Chof Hei Mishneh Tes, kol hakelim yordim lidei tumosan b'machshava. However, if there is some action, some further step necessary in order to be able to use this object for its function, then ein machshava mitamoson. Mere intent alone does not make it a keli, with one exception, and that is a thing called the utzpa, elo ha'utzpa. A utzpa is a piece of cloth or a piece of leather which one puts upon the back of an animal or on a wagon to sit upon. So there, yes, you might say, well, in order for it to be a finished product, you can't just take a raw piece of cloth or a raw piece of leather. You have to trim it and then cut off its edges and this and that before it's finished. So it's missing those steps. But here, those steps are not essential. That doesn't make a difference. As long as I have something under me when I'm sitting on the horse, I don't care if it's trimmed and curved and etc. Doesn't matter. So in such a case, machshava itself renders it ro'i lekabel tuma, even though it's not so completely finished product, because the unfinished part is not essential by the utzpa. But any case where the finished to finish it, you need to do something, and finishing it is essential, then machshava itself is not enough unless I do that finishing step. That's Mishneh Zayin. Mishneh Ches says, Oros bal habayis, strips of hide, pieces of hide of leather, which are not made by a professional tanner, but by a bal habayis, an ordinary balabos, an ordinary layman, so to speak. Now, he's not going to sell the hide that he produced. He's just going to use it for his own purposes. So therefore, if he has a piece of hide which he tanned, and it looks okay, it's not perfect, whatever, and he says, I'm going to use it for a blanket, for a pillow, whatever, fine, it is now a blanket or a pillow. The fact that it's missing some finishing touch doesn't make a difference, because the Bala Bayis is not going to care about finishing touches. He's not selling it. He's not putting it on the market. So therefore, it is Mekabel Tumah with Machshava alone. However, Vishel Abdon, if it's a professional tanner, then Ein Machshava Mitamosan. If he decides he's going to use these pieces of leather as they are, that's not enough, because it's still not mekabel tumah, because he very well may decide to sell them. And to sell them, he's going to have to fix it and trim it and cut it, etc. So therefore, there is chesron melacha. There's a finishing step missing. And therefore, it's not yet mekabel tumah. That's the beginning. Now the Mishnah tells us a fascinating thing, a fascinating machlokas. Suppose I'm a ganav, I'm a thief. Now you know the difference between a ganav and a gazlan. A gazlan is what my Rebbe in the second year of high school used to say. A gazlan is a holdupnik. He's a holdupnik. He holds you up. He comes to you in your face with a gun and says, "Give me your money, okay, you give me your life." That's a gazlan. So you know who the guy is. He's not wearing a mask. You saw him, but you're afraid of him because he's a tough cookie. A ganov is a sneak. He breaks into your house at night. He's a pickpocket. You don't even see him. You don't know who he is. So, shel ganov, the hide in the possession of a ganov, machshava mitamosa. If the ganov says, "Ooh, you know, I'm going to use this hide as a blanket, as a pillowcase, whatever." So just his thought itself makes it now a pillowcase. Why? Because a ganav, the original owner, the person from whom this was stolen, he doesn't know who stole it. He just knows that one fine day he came and saw that all of his leather pieces are now disappeared. He doesn't know who took him. So therefore he gives up. He is miyayish. He does what's called yiyosh. He says, "Oy vey, faloiden, lost and gone. Goodbye." And therefore, it has now becomes the property of the ganav. He still owes the money, but those the pieces of hide are now his. Since it's now his, and he's thinking of using the hide as the leather as a pillowcase or as a blanket, it is now a pillowcase or a blanket with the ganav's machshava. However, that's only the case of a ganav, a sneak thief, because the person, the victim from whom this was stolen, doesn't know who it was, who stole it. Since he doesn't know who it was, he figures, "I'll never find the guy. I'll never find the guy. I might as well give up on them." So now the ganav owns it. Since he owns it, remember, he owns it, but he has to pay for it if he's caught. But the actual object is now his. Now his. His machshava renders it roi lekabel tumah. But v'shel gazlon, suppose the thief is a holdupnik. He came and I know who stole from me, who stole my hides from me, because he came to me without a mask and put a gun in my head. Ein machshava mitamosam. So if this gazlan decides to use the hide for a blanket or a pillowcase, that machshava is not enough to render them roi lekabel tumah. Because by a gazlan, the owner, the original owner, the victim, will not give up. He'll figure, "We'll catch that guy. I'm going to go to the post office, look at all the pictures, and I'll say, oh, that's the thief. We'll go after him. We'll catch him. We'll get my leather back." So therefore, in the case of a gazlon, machshava is not sufficient. That's the Tanakama's opinion. Along comes Rab Shimon Omer, chilaf advarim. Just the opposite, says Rab Shimon. Shel gazlon, if it's a holdupnik, a thief, a bandit who came and held me up, and I know who he is, I know what he looked like, then machshava mitamoson. Why? Because for a gazlan, if I'm confronted with a gazlan who came after me with a gun, a real tough guy, no, I'm going to say, I'm not going to start up with him. Let him keep the darn leather. I'm not going to go after him. And therefore, I am miyayish. I give up on the leather. And the leather becomes the gazlan's. So therefore, the machshava itself is mitamoson. But v'shal ganov ain't machshava mitamoson. But if it's a sneak thief, I figure I'm going to hire a detective. We're going to look for fingerprints. We'll find them. And therefore, I am not miyayesh. I don't give up on these hides, on these oros. I involve resh vav samach. And therefore, they don't belong to the ganov. And they don't belong to the ganov. His machshava itself cannot render them royal lekabel tumah. He cannot be morid them lidei tumah. This machlokas, Rab Shimon and Tanakama, even though it's a Mishnah deep in Maseches Kelim, and you might think, you know, rabbis forgot about this one. It's in the Besechta, which is not studied very often. However, it's a sugya in the Gemara in Bava Kama, Daf Kuf Yod Dalid, and there's a Machlokas Amoroim, and an interesting discussion, and a lot of Taisvis, and a lot of Rishonim, who speak about various aspects of this interesting halacha. In any case, we have now concluded Mishnayos Zayin and Ches, 7 and 8, and in the process of Perek 26, and in the process we've concluded lesson number 110.